I am pleased to present Leanne Thornton McHugh to introduce Leanne. Leanne was hired as the program coordinator for the Adult Injury Prevention Program at the Trauma Institute of Hartford Hospital and Connecticut Children's Medical Center this past February. Her group has just completed the pilot phase of a senior driving screening program, which is being presented here today. Leanne is also in the midst of completing her thesis work for her Master's of Public Health degree from the University of Connecticut. Welcome.
First, I'd like to say this has been an awesome conference. It's my first one, and I've met some great people. And thank you. Thank you for coming to listen to me. As Kathleen pointed out, the feasibility of implementing a community-based pilot mature driver screening and referral program is the title of our And I want to just quickly thank my colleagues. Hassan Salheen did so much data work for me. Jackie McQuay and Dr. Len Jacobs are the adult injury program prevention program people. And last but not least, the PI and my mentor, Gary Lapidus. I have no relationships to disclose. So first of all, the objectives of our program was to see if people who are older drivers were interested in coming out to find out about their own safety issues and if they would do it in a community setting. And then secondly, we wanted to find out if from the screenings, the referrals that we made, the recommendations that we made, if they would follow up on them. So a little bit of background. Contrary to what many people believe, older drivers aren't wreaking havoc in the streets. 65-year-old and older drivers are about 15% of all drivers, but only about 7% of all crashes. They're only about 16% likelier than the middle-aged population to cause a crash, and that's comparing it to teens who are at 188%, it's like almost nothing. However, the risk of fatality as a result of a crash compared to most people, it's like 7 times more likely that an older adult will be killed in a car crash. And that's kind of what jangled me and made me like really want to be a part of this, is that people are driving longer there, and they need to like sort of be more aware of their own safety. Not so much get them off the streets, but like just, you know, how do we get people to drive safely? So some of the things that is going on here is not because adults are taking risks, but because of physiological changes that are happening to them. As we get older, I'm sure some of us know this, our vision changes, we have hearing losses, physicality changes, flexibility, strength changes. There's a lot of cognitive changes, attention span, memory losses. Did I mention vision changes and hearing loss? No. And one of the traffic safety goals of professionals is to accurately assess declines in driving abilities and relate them to crash risk. And one of the ways to do this is through driver safety screenings, which we're finding are underutilized. So some of the screening instruments that are out there. The AMA and NHTSA have a physician's guide. They developed this physician's guide that doctors can do with their elderly patients right in their office. And basically, they go through assess abilities that have to do with driving. They look at, you know, all kinds of different things. And there's another one called Driving Decisions Workbook that the University of Michigan's transportation team put out. And this is a very comprehensive review of abilities, and people can find that on a lot of age-related websites have this information. The AAA Foundation has one called Drivers 55 Plus, and basically it's a pretty short little assessment of your own abilities. So you go through and you answer questions for yourself, you know, like, what do you think about this? How do you feel about that? So you can get some kind of an awareness of your own driving. And they also put out this screening tool called Roadwise Review. And that is marketed as a tool to help seniors drive safely longer. So the Roadwise Review is based on a clinical driving health inventory that's marketed for occupational therapists who do driver rehab. It's a 30-minute program that's done in the privacy of your own home with a partner. And it identifies physiological changes that impact driving abilities. Now, we looked at one process evaluation that found some limitations to the study, and they were things like the fact that people had a hard time using a computer, their proficiency with mousing was not good, they weren't sticking to the real instructions, they were cheating. The partners were having a hard time assisting, and they weren't really sure what to do or how to interpret the results of the screening that they got. So we thought we would adapt this screening tool because we thought it was a great tool, but we thought it would be kind of cool to bring it out into the community and have somebody consistently administer it. And then also to be able to help explain what the screening results were and make some referrals. So the methods that we chose, we got our IRB approval. We used a convenience sample in 2 local health districts in 6 towns. We were looking to recruit 150 community dwelling seniors that were 65 and older and had a valid driver's license. So we got their consent, we gave them a gift card. Interestingly, most people said they would do it without a gift card because they really enjoyed what they did. Excuse me. We gave them, it was an individual screening, so each person filled out a pre-survey of 30 questions that covered things like demographics, driving history, what they felt about driving, if they had any concerns, if their family had any concerns about their driving. Then they did the screening program with the administrator, and afterwards, the results, we talked about the results, they got some kind of recommendation. They did a post-survey, which basically evaluated what they just did, and they were told that they'd get a follow-up call in 2 to 4 weeks to find out what their intent was from the screening referrals. So the screening involves 8 tasks, and the tasks each generate a report of either a mild impairment, or a no impairment, a mild impairment, or a serious impairment. And based on the report, they're given a referral, things like, you know, if they had some kind of eye issues, maybe you should see your eye doctor. A driver refresher course would probably be valuable to you, or maybe even an online on-the-road evaluation. So what does some of the tasks look like? We're screening on a computer. We're not out there driving with people, so we can't really, you know, assess that way. But here are a couple of examples of what the tasks are. This one is, it's coincides with a question we asked, do you have trouble looking over your shoulder? So the task is called head-neck flexibility, and what the person would have to do is they'd sit 10 feet away from the screen with their back to the screen, and when they were cued, they were asked to turn, and just by moving their upper torso and their neck and shoulders, they needed to look behind themselves and identify the graphic that they saw on the screen. Another example of a task is called visual search, and this one coincided with a question that we asked, do you feel overwhelmed by all that you must pay attention to at intersections? So some people might recognize this as the trail making test, and it involves motor speed and attention functions, and what the person would have to do is, being timed, they'd have to connect the numbers and the letters in an alternating pattern, so go from 1 to A to B, find 3, C, 4, and then on and on. And what this does, this task sort of mirrors the overwhelming feelings that you get at a traffic intersection by, you know, looking for the sign and watching the car coming up on your left and like that kind of thing. So the results of our pilot, we're going to look at demographics, driving characteristics and behaviors, older old versus younger old, and screening results. So we weren't surprised at our demographics. It pretty much mirrored the catchment area where we were. The age range was 65 to 93, mean age 77, and really the most the thing that stuck out the most for me was that we saw 5 people who were over 90, and I was actually just floored that that people over 90 still drive. Characteristics and behaviors of driving. We saw that A lot of people are still driving every day. They're not driving as much, 1,000 to 10,000 miles annually. We're also looking at people who are starting to self-regulate. 50% of people are avoiding nighttime driving and bad weather driving. And about a third of the people told us that they avoid highways and busy streets. I don't have the stat right here, but very, very few people said they were concerned about their own driving. And one thing that kind of struck me was that 100% of our participants told us that their physicians had no concerns. And when asked further, when I asked, they said their doctors don't even ask them about driving, period. I thought that was kind of concerning. So looking at reported driving behaviors, we looked at older versus younger and categorized them, the older old as people 75 and older, and younger as under 75. And we found just two significant differences. One of them was that the older old drivers were the ones who were avoiding driving at night. And the older old drivers were the ones that were avoiding taking a left-hand turn across traffic, which research shows is a very dangerous thing to do. There's a lot going on, and people are killed in those kinds of highway interactions. So reporting the results of our tasks, we had 151 participants. 8% had no impairments, and we had 86% of the people we saw had at least one mild impairment, and 52% had at least one serious impairment. So in looking at some group comparisons, we looked at three that we thought were interesting. We looked at the older versus younger, males versus females, and people who had concerns versus those who had no concerns about their driving safety. And the only ones that we found with any significance were the older versus the younger drivers with the serious impairments. It was mostly the older drivers that were having the trouble. Then we looked at our surveys versus the screenings. And we first looked at mild impairments. And to look at the survey and compare it to the mild impairment, somebody would answer something like somewhat or sometimes. And to look at, we had three tasks that showed that there were some differences. And the one that I'll point out was the visual search, the task where you went from one to A to two to B. We had 15% of the people who answered the survey said that, you know, sometimes they had a problem, but we found 70% of the people in the screening were having difficulties in that area. And then the same thing looking at survey versus screening. For serious impairments in the survey, they would have to answer always, usually or always. And I'll look at the one we looked at, a task, the head and neck flexibility. 3% of the people answering the survey said that they didn't have any problems turning their neck and their head and necks. And when we did the screening, we found 40% of the folks had, they couldn't even turn and look and identify. And the interesting thing about that was people told me that they weren't concerned about that result because when they learned how to drive, they were taught to use mirrors. So they didn't need to look behind them. So another kind of little concern there. So referrals were given to 75% of the people who completed. And when we followed up, 74% of them reported that they had intention to complete or they had already completed the recommended referral. Overall satisfaction with the program was pretty high. People said it was useful, that it was something that they would recommend to other people. They would do it again. They discovered changes in themselves. So we were very happy to hear that. Some limitations of the study. It was a pilot study. It was small. Probably non-representative of the population in general. It was self-selected. The people who came to see us really were not, I think they wanted to come in to get sort of a confirmation that they're still doing okay. The computer proficiency, about a third of our participants couldn't use the computer, so we adapted for them, basically did the mousing for them, because we wanted to make sure that they were being doing the screening for the task and not whether or not they could use a computer. And we're really not sure if the intention on the referrals are they really going to do it. So in summary, motor vehicle collisions are a significant problem. Normal aging affects driving. Screening and assessments have been underutilized. And looks like this might be a pretty good way to get out there and be an option for people, for senior citizens to come out and check this out. For future research, we'd like to do a more rigorous evaluation using a randomized control methodology, bring it to a larger sample of folks in Connecticut, someday nationally, right, Mike? We're going to try it again with the touchscreen computer technology so we don't have to worry about the mousing, and we'd like to do something with more stringent follow-up and follow people out longer. So I wanted to just mention that Central Connecticut Health District and West Hartford Bloomfield Health District were very accommodating to us. These community senior centers, not only did they let us in, they were so supportive and were happy to have us there. And we got our funding from the Department of Transportation from the state of Connecticut. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Yes.
My father is 90 today, and I have concerns.
God bless him. Happy birthday.
Are there any states that have any mandatory?
You know what? There are some, and I honestly don't have those kinds of numbers, and I don't remember anything these days. But there, what state are you in?
Yeah,
because there are some states who do, they require vision testing, which, you know, quite frankly, is like the screening problem that we found the least problem with, because most people have their eyes taken care of. You know, if they have cataracts, they have surgery, they wear corrective lenses, so that's not necessarily the problem, but, you know, you'd have to find out from the California DMV. Yes, John.
Yeah. Just reading last night another student's thesis where she did go, and there are, it's all over the place. There's no national standard. So some states have one kind of law, some have another. So it's pretty much you have to look at the interest of the state that you're concerned about. But I will tell you, my husband happens to be an eye doctor, and there are a few people that he has to take off the road because. In fact, my sister once said, don't ever drive with her. She wasn't that old, but she said she's blind as a bat. And she was walking around like that, so it's not just...
But she can drive, but she can still drive. Yeah. I know, you get someone wrong.
Thank you for that nice presentation. I thought it was interesting about the computer problems with the elderly. That's something we should all keep in mind when we're working with that population. Mm-hmm. But when you talked about recruiting, you recruited at senior centers, and these are day centers where people come for the day?
Yeah, they're active, you know, people who are active in their community and, you know, are driving there.
Okay.
Yeah, yep.
And then were you the administrator? Because I don't know if there was any special training for the administrator of this?
Party. Yep, it was me.
So you did 150?
I actually did a couple more who didn't go through the whole program. But yep, I did 150.
Great. And are you going to disseminate these findings back to the community center where you worked, or any plans for that?
As a matter of fact, we did a presentation just last month. We invited the senior center directors to come. We had a senior advisor board. People from the health district, they came and we disseminated our findings. And actually, every one of them wants us to come back and go do our second phase with the random control with them. Fred?
Did you ask any questions about risks, such as prescription medications, or have you been in a crash since you've been 65?
Yep, we ask the 30 questions, and actually there's 31 questions, because the last question is, would you mind listing all of your prescription medications? And I didn't report on that, but there are a lot of people who are taking a lot of medications. So I'm not sure what we're going to do with that piece of information, except, you know, as an eye-opener kind of thing. But what was the beginning part of your question? I'm sorry.
I'm just getting at
some of the questions.
Factors, you know,
we asked people if they had had a traffic accident or a ticket in the last. In fact, going forward, probably not this next phase, but possibly the one after, we would really like to follow them out and see what's going on in their DMV records, their crash record, if there are crash records. But the tough part about this recruitment is that you really get people who are feeling okay about their driving, people who are having difficulties, people who are identified to me by others, like the senior center ladies who will say, you should get so-and-so. Those people, I mean, I actually have gone over and tried to coax them into coming, and they don't want to. They're afraid that someone's going to take their license away. You know what? No, but it's so funny. We're having some students from UConn do a focus group for one of their classes, and actually one of the respondents in their focus group said that she stopped driving when she fell asleep behind the wheel. And I thought, like, oh, that's drowsy driving is a big thing that no one's talking about. Mike.
I just want to say, my name is Mike Stabler. I work at AAA, and we were in contact with Leanne and Daryl, and they're doing this, and we're looking forward to a larger study. But just a few notes. I want to let you know that the Webrise Review product is available at AAA clubs, also at some of the branch offices. It's also available completely free online. If you go to AAAseniors.com, you can find links to it online. The AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety had that pen and paper test. Drivers 55 plus, and they just recently updated that. It's now drivers 65 plus. You can get that free from the AAA Foundation website and our website, too, AAAseniors.com. And just this morning, I saw a copy of it, but on the Today Show, they're recording from Illinois. They were talking about older drivers and giving up the keys. So it's very, very important.
And there was actually, Jake Nelson was just quoted in USA Today last week.
And for the drowsy driving comment, this is Drowsy Driving Week, and the AAA Foundation.
Drowsy Driving Week, Joan.
Released our report just Monday, so you can find all of those reports out from all of our shows.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, just a quick thing that I should call it, the drowsy driving comment. It's about the use of cell phones. As an elderly, obviously, there's been an increase in use of cell phones as well.
It's interesting. The people that I have seen have told me that they're more concerned about dealing with people who are distracted driving, that it's not the older people who are using the cell phones, but that they have to now defensively drive for all those people out there who are using cell phones. So I don't know that in the 65 and up population, maybe it's the same kind of the demographic where they're not computer savvy, so they're not doing cell phones. I'm thinking my own mother. Every time I see her, I have to show her how to get her voicemail. But coming up, like our generation coming up, where are those idiots who are going to be out there?
Right. Well, even that, the comment about when you were showing about the distractibility in terms of the complex tasks that are happening.
Right.
Well, the thought being that when I've seen some elderly people driving, when they get an incoming beep or all of a sudden it adds to the confusion and the distraction that, and I don't know if it's accentuated or if it's it was just really thinking about that.
Yeah, this guy who's a AAA guy in West Hartford had told me that his 95-year-old uncle drives from Hartford to Canada, and he does okay as long as he's going. But if something stops him, he has a hard time, and I just thought, oh my God. So if something distracts him, no matter what it is, he just, loses concentration and doesn't know, where to begin again. Sounds a little dangerous to me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.